The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Friday morning. I wanted to read to you from Revelation chapter 3. You know, Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are the seven letters to the seven churches. I preached on those seven letters to the seven churches some years ago, and I called that series You've Got Mail, kind of piggybacking off the AOL and then the movie with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. But the Lord did give mail. He sent a letter to these seven churches. Now, we had Erwin Lutzer on the program some time ago, and I asked him where does he think America is in the seven letters to the seven churches? Many people would say, well, America's now Laodicea. The Lord is knocking at the door of the church. Let me in. And he said, I don't see the church as Laodicea. I see the church more as Sardis. And so here is the message to the church at Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. So many people think that, well, see, that says God can erase your name from the book of life. You can lose your salvation. Well, he just says, I will not do that. I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, I'm entitling this episode today, Wake Up America. And that goes for the church and that goes for the nation. The nation, the church needs to wake up. If we're like the church in Sardis, we need to wake up. We need to smell the coffee. We need to see what's going on. We need to be like the sons of Issachar to understand the times and what Israel should do. And as I've told you repeatedly, that's why I love American Family Radio, American Family Association, because they work and the association works to wake up America and to wake up Christians in America to what is going on and to the temperature in our world and to the spiritual decay and to the fact that the enemy is coming and we are watchmen on the wall, Ezekiel chapter 3, and it is our responsibility before God to sound the alarm, for every pastor to know that your responsibility before God is to speak the truth in love. That's true for every Christian. It's especially true for every pastor, and to not shrink back from declaring the whole counsel of God, and to especially address areas where the enemy is attacking. I mean, if you're shoring up areas where there's no enemy there, well, that's ridiculous. Where the enemy's pouring in, that's where you need to send the troops. That's where you need to address. That's why I said before, you know, somebody said it was racist to build a wall on the southern border. Well, we're not building a wall on the northern border because we're racist, because in Canada they're all white and there are people of color coming in on the southern border. Well, they're not coming in on the northern border. That's why we don't need to build a wall. They're coming in on the southern border. And so you have to go where the attack is coming. Now, America, anybody that is awake is reeling from the election in New York, electing Zohran Mamdani to the position of mayor of New York, mayor of the largest city in America, $112 billion budget. And the things that he said, he's a Muslim socialist. And the things that he says, the things that he stands for, the things that he plans to do, that he's campaigned on doing, are going to bring destruction, economic disaster to that city. Now, I ran across this. I think it was, I just have the clip. I don't know, but I'm thinking it was from PragerU. And it explains about what is going on in the Democrat Party, because the Democrat Party is being taken over by socialists. And the socialists love to say, well, we're not communists, we're not socialists, we're democratic socialists, arose by any other name, to quote William Shakespeare. It's the same thing. Even Bill Maher says that Zohran Mamdani is a communist. Well, here is how communism works. Now, I think this is extremely interesting. The communist goals written into the Congressional Record, January 10th, 1963. It's a list of 45 goals, and I just want to read you a few of them. It just ticks them off, and it enumerates them, not ticks them off like makes them mad, but it enumerates what these goals are. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. Do away with all loyalty oaths. I heard a preacher say he loves the Pledge of Allegiance because it gets everybody together to say, hey, regardless of my background, I'm an American and I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. They've done that. They've captured the Democrat Party. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. Check. They've done that. Gain control of all student newspapers. Pretty much a check mark there. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Check. Number 20 on the list of 45. Infiltrate the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making positions. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. If you look in communist countries, that's what they have. Their buildings are so, tend to be just utilitarian. Number 26 on the list. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as, quote, normal, natural, and healthy. Check mark on that. And then the last one I'll mention, 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with, quote, social, unquote, religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious church. Well, they have done a good job infiltrating. They've done a good job since 1963 in their communist goals. And they have taken over the Democrat Party, and as I believe it's from PragerU, they lay out the case that the Democratic Socialists of America use the Democrat Party and then discard it because all they want is power. Listen to this explanation.
It's no secret that the Democratic Socialists of America hate the Democratic Party.
I think we're all on the same page that we hate the Democratic Party.
Democratic Party is not really
our friend. It isn't.
So why are the DSA such major players in the Democratic Party? This odd relationship can be understood with the cuckoo analogy. In nature, the cuckoo survives by trickery. It lays its egg in another bird's nest. The unsuspecting parents raise the imposter as their own until the cuckoo grows strong enough to push the true chicks out. The DSA is the cuckoo inside the Democratic Party.
DSA is not the Democratic Party.
We must separate ourselves from the toxic Democratic Party.
We can put forward a clear, aggressive, principled strategy that pushes back against the Democratic leadership and the Democratic Party as a whole.
DSA candidates run as Democrats in safe blue districts. They slip through low turnout primaries. And once inside, they use the Democratic label as camouflage while advancing an extremist anti-American agenda far beyond the party's mainstream.
I don't agree with the Democratic Party, but it's a great tool.
The Democratic is a tool that we use.
Once in office, DSA candidates take orders from DSA's internal enforcers and working groups. City halls and state houses start running as socialist machines controlled by the organization, not the Democratic Party, and certainly not voters.
They have to have a connection with DSA's internal politics, and they have to be committed to the eventual goal of building a separate entity from the Democrats.
DSA are revolutionaries, and the Democrats are their first victims. And in city after city, DSA victories prove their plan works.
I think that the model that we used in New York is 100% replicatable.
And just like the cuckoo, once the DSA grows strong, it pushes the true Democrats out, hollowing the party from within,
building towards political independence, and tearing apart the Democratic Party.
The DSA is not here to strengthen the Democratic Party. It is here to consume it.
We're not here to make the Democrats a little bit better. We're here to actually enact socialism. And socialism is not just better capitalism. It's overthrowing the entire capitalist state.
It's our duty, DSA, to cultivate this power.
The cuckoo is in the nest, and New York City is poised to elect not a Democrat, but Zohran Mamdani, an extremist within the DSA.
We understand that winning an election is not an end. It is a means to an end.
That the most important thing that we can do is take that empire down from within.
Ultimately, to overthrow our own empire.
We need a movement that can drive a snake to the heart of the empire.
We need to orient ourselves towards insurrection.
That's a chilling video. I think it's very, very accurate. And what do we need to do? Wake up. We're the Church of Sardis. We're the people of Sardis. Wake up. We need to see what the enemy is doing, and we need to stand up to it. And churches that just go along, we're all excited because we're for the people. Socialism is not for the people. It hurts the people. It always hurts the people. And Zohran Mamdani is going to hurt the people in New York. And we need to pray. As O.S. Hawkins was on the program yesterday, he said, this is what happened Tuesday in New York and then in New Jersey and then in Virginia. I mean, as shocking as it is, the attorney general is a guy that talks about killing his opponents and their children. And you elect that guy. It's just unbelievable that people would do that. But people are so blind. Now, the Bible is clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so we need to pray that the blinders would be removed. Now, George Will, we pointed this out earlier, in the program a couple days ago, George Will had said on Bill Maher's program, Real Time with Bill Maher, a couple of months ago, that would be the best thing for Zohran Mamdani to be elected so that people could see, yet again, in real time, that socialism is a disaster. And let it be a disaster in a city and not in the whole nation. So that's kind of his thinking. But people are going to get hurt, and we care about people. And that's why we tell people the truth. You know, as Paul said, Galatians 4:16, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Surely not. You know, truth is not an enemy. Truth is what we need to live. Truth is the building block and the building blocks of life. It has to be built on truth. Loving kindness and truth, the Bible says, are the foundations of the Lord's throne. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I was in Magnolia, Arkansas yesterday, and we had a big event there, Farmers Bank at Southern Arkansas University, SAU, in Magnolia. Beautiful campus there, and Ozzie Smith, the baseball great from St. Louis Cardinals, was there, did a tremendous job, so articulate. That guy, gracious, kind. I got to take a picture with him and got to meet some people and see some people that listen on the radio, and one of those faithful listeners, and I'm not great with remembering names. I'm pretty sure his name is Keith, although I woke up this morning saying, it wasn't Kevin, was it? I'm pretty sure it's Keith, but I got to meet him and his wife, and he says, I listen every morning. So I told him I was going to give him a shout out, and then some others that said, oh, you're Pastor Jeff, and I watch you on TV, or I listen to you on American Family Radio. And so it was really cool to get to meet folks and to know that people out there are listening and enjoying the program. And so I want to give a shout out to all of you. And if you live anywhere in that area and you've never been to Magnolia, you say, well, I don't live too far from there. Take a trip one day and go and walk around the campus. It's so beautiful, and they really do a great job. And Farmers Bank, you talk about a great bank. That is a wonderful bank and just a wonderful partner in our community and definitely in Magnolia. Okay, so we're talking about Wake Up America. Revelation chapter 3, the message to the church in Sardis is the message to the church in America. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. This is the Lord Jesus to his church in Sardis. He says, so remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Pastors, Christians, we need to wake up. Americans need to wake up. As we said in the first segment, the Democrat Party is being overtaken by the socialist communists. I heard Laura Ingraham say, you know, this Nancy Pelosi has to get out. This isn't her party anymore. It's the party of AOC. It's the party of the squad. And Jasmine Crockett is, as ludicrous as that might sound, she has a big voice in the Democrat Party. Now, I mean, I just think those people come across as fools when they speak, but people like them. And it's, you have such a dumbing down of the electorate, and people don't realize voting for Zohran Mamdani, you're voting for a Muslim socialist. And how in the world is that going to be a good thing? That's going to be a terrible thing. Communism is anti-American. And people are all, they're getting jazzed about this guy, Mamdani, because he's a young guy. He's, at, what, 33 years old or something like that. He's going to be the face. Maybe we could run him for president in 2028. Well, that would be the death of our country if that happened. So, the long game. Socialism, communism, they are succeeding in their goals, as I read to you from the Congressional Record in 1961. Now, the short game, what's going on in the short game? Wake up America with the shutdown. The shutdown began on October 1st, and here we are, and it's November 7th, and it doesn't seem like we've made any progress. Well, I ran across a video clip from Ben Shapiro, and he was explaining what is going on here and what is really at stake here in the government shutdown.
You're being lied to about the government shutdown. Here's the actual story. Something like $20 billion, that's the cost per year of healthcare for illegal immigrants in the country. The Vice President of the United States explained one of the big sticking points here is Democrats want funding for healthcare for illegal immigrants. The One Big Beautiful Bill made a provision, and it basically said Medicaid dollars, they can't go to the states, and then the states shift those dollars around, they use them for certain things, and effectively speaking, those dollars end up used for illegal immigrants. And so the One Big Beautiful Bill made a specific provision that banned healthcare for illegal immigrants. Democrats are now attempting to undo that, and the more honest Democrats will admit they're attempting to undo that. Now, listen, this is a country of Americans. America is a place that requires American citizens to be taken care of first. Federal taxpayer dollars obviously should not be used for illegal immigrant health care.
Yeah, so he's just breaking it out. That's what's really taking place here. This is what they're trying to subvert. They don't like the big, beautiful bill, and they lost. It passed, but now they're trying to just blow up the whole thing. Now, Kayleigh McEnany, she was speaking about this situation, about what's going on with air traffic controllers and the military not getting paid. And she floated out the idea of the nuking the filibuster, but doing it not just across the board, doing it specifically to end this government shutdown.
Let me make this really simple. No one's winning, not Republicans, not Democrats, when military members cannot pay their bills, when air traffic controllers are calling out because they get zeros on their paycheck, when our safety is at issue in the skies. No one is winning. We are all losing. And why? Because Democrats, they got a chance to vote to pay the military. Fine, you don't want to open up the government? How about pay the military essential workers? Guess how many Democrats voted to do that? Three. John Fetterman, Raphael Warnock, and John Ossoff. Three Democrats voted to pay the military. Now John Kennedy says, let's vote to remove our pay until military members get paid. Can't wait to see how many Democrats vote on that. Let me propose a very simple solution here. Filibuster, not in the Constitution. Filibuster, not passed legislatively. Filibuster can be removed for the sole purpose of spending bills. You can just remove the filibuster to open the government. When military members are hurting, when we are not safe in the skies, it is time to nuke the filibuster for spending bills because Democrats are hurting our country.
Yeah, I would agree with her on that. And I don't know why the Republicans aren't doing that. I realize there's fallout. I heard from Mike Johnson says, well, there's fallout if you do that. Trump wants to do it. Laura Ingraham was advocating for that. She says, well, the Democrats are going to do it when they get in power. So we might as well do it and push things through that need to be pushed through to save our country. So we need to be praying. Christians need to be praying. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up to what's going on in our country so that we have something to pass on to our children, to our grandchildren, because the dystopia they're going to live in if things keep going in the direction they're going is horrific. And so we just pray, come Lord Jesus. Obviously, we want the Lord to come, but we want to bring with us, when the Lord comes, when he comes in the clouds at the rapture of the church, we want to bring with us as many people as possible. And we certainly want to bring with us our children and our grandchildren. We want them to be ready to meet the Lord. Well, I ran across a video of John MacArthur. It was some years ago when he was talking about seeker-sensitive churches. Talk about wake up Sardis, the church in Sardis. Well, wake up church in America. And he was talking about how the churches, jumped on this seeker-sensitive bandwagon. It was Rick Warren that said he went door-to-door in the Saddleback area in California, Orange County, and just said, what do you want from the church? And he just listened to all these unchurched people say what they wanted in church. And then he went about to make a church where he was giving them what they wanted. Well, that's dangerous. That's extremely dangerous. Now, no doubt God used a lot of what Rick Warren did to bring people to faith in Christ. And Rick is an evangelist. I think that's part of his gift mix. And so I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, but many, many pastors said, well, that's what we need to do because we want to reach people. Here was the warning that John MacArthur gave concerning that strategy, going after the world, coddling the world to try and reach the world.
I think once the church decides it is going to give the unconverted people what they want, in an effort to win them, ostensibly, as soon as you link up with them and you let them dictate what you do as a church, inevitably they will take you to the bottom. In other words, you've just put a ball and chain on the church, and it's going to the bottom. So what happens is it starts out, it's kind of benign in some ways. You have contemporary music, and the sermons get lighter and lighter, and it's about success and being happy and finding your fulfillment. You know, I mean, it's Joel Osteen sentimental things. But eventually it won't stay there because they're not going to just accept the style. If you link with the world, they want more than the style. They're going to mess with the substance. And they'll start dragging you down. So the next thing you're going to find out is the gospel gets mitigated. The offense of the gospel is removed because you've already decided you're going to court them. So you got to get rid of what offends them. And then you wake up one day and they've dragged you into feminism. And then the next day you wake up, they've dragged you into racism. And the next day you wake up, they're dragging you into homosexuality and the LGBTQ transgender movement. So they're inventing new terms like SSA, same-sex attraction, and saying it's not a sin. So once the church connected and decided the world was going to define it, because they were going to win the world by being the friend of the world, which James says is enmity with God. So if you're the friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. It starts in a benign way, but eventually you get where we are now, and the evangelical movement sells out. And it starts selling out, I think, with the sort of the pragmatic people, but eventually it gets to the non-pragmatic people. And all of a sudden, feminism, wokeism, LGBTQ winds up in evangelical seminaries and evangelical colleges. And so that's how I see the flow.
And that's what we're seeing today. And he was spot on. Now, one of the young pastors, I've referred to him just recently, Josh Howerton. He's the pastor at Lake Point, just up the road a couple hours from us on I-30. Josh is outspoken. I appreciate what he has to say. And he was talking along these same lines, and he was talking about how churches and pastors, you need to speak the truth in love, and you need to be bold about speaking the truth in love. And you let the chips fall where they may, but you be a faithful herald of the Lord. This is what he had to say along those same lines.
Now, we have churches where it seems like everyone is welcome but Jesus, and everything is tolerated except the clear teaching of the Word of God. I have to say this. We have churches, we have large churches in my city, in Dallas, Texas, who are painting pride flags on the stairs, on the steps into their churches. Synagogues of Satan is what Revelation 2 and 3 would say. You are cheering people on in a wide path that will lead them to hell is what you're doing. And Jesus said this, he would say, woe to you. It will be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day than you. Because if they had seen and heard what you have seen and heard, if they had access to the revelation that you have access to, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Woe to you, synagogues. Gods of Satan. Sometimes, and not all, listen to me, not all. I'm going to put in air quotes that, man, we have churches that are seeker-sensitive churches, and they become so sensitive to not offending quote-unquote seekers that they've actually become insensitive to what offends the Holy Spirit. Like when I preach, I've just gotten used to like people, they get up and they walk out angrily while I'm preaching. I don't care. I don't care. We are living in an era where it's like, the only thing that's not okay is somebody opening their Bible and refusing to affirm or cheer something you're doing. And people will say, man, you're wrong for saying that. No, you're wrong. I'm not controversial. You're controversial before the King of the Universe. So people will say, man, I was born the wrong way in the wrong body. No. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. You should know that full well. You are loved by God, man. You are made in His image. He loves you. God loves you. He loves the real you. The real Jesus died on a real cross for the real you. And if you give Him your life, He can really change it forever. Come on, somebody, man.
That was Josh Howerton. I say amen to that. And this idea that, you know, churches, we don't want to offend. We're not wanting to offend this group, that group, the other group. Hey, pastor friends of mine, you who are out there and you teach and you preach, remember, you speak, you preach, you teach for an audience of one. You want the Lord to be pleased with what you're saying. You want to have the truth, speaking the truth in love. Jesus was full of grace and truth. You have to have that tension, and you can't let grace just overshadow the truth. And on the same side, you don't want to be truth with no grace. Truth with no grace is brutality, but grace with little truth is just mere sentimentality. We need to speak with grace and truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. My grandkids go to a church school there in the Woodlands, and the pastor of that church met with some of the moms because they were upset. They were invited to the trunk or treat, and what did they have at this church, a Lutheran church? What did they have at the trunk or treat for the little kids? Now, I mean, my grandkids are 4, 2, and 8 months. They had a gay pride trunk there with a rainbow, and they're, hey, love is love. They had a sign, love is love. This is at a church for little kids. And so my daughter, along with some other moms, met with the pastor, and he's like, no, you know, this is where we stand. So it's like, well, okay, well, adios. I'm not gonna subject my kids. My daughter is saying this. I'm not gonna subject my kids to that. Oh, we don't talk about that in the school. Yeah, but that's what you believe, and that is wrong. And you're offending the King of the Universe by speaking lies and coddling the world that is on the broad road leading to hell. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I would love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Hey, let me encourage you. It's National Collection Time at American Family Association, American Family Radio, as we partner with Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child. So now through November 24th, it's the time to pack a shoebox, and that shoebox will be sent somewhere around the world to a child and to a family to bless them at Christmas, and then to tell them about Jesus, who's mighty to save. And so you can find out more. Just visit SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. to learn more about what's in the box, and then to find a drop-off location near you. But the goal this year is to try and reach 12.6 million children with the gospel through a simple shoebox gift, and you could be a part of that goal. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, brief testimony, love to hear from you. We've been talking about Revelation chapter 3, the message to the church in Sardis, and that message was, wake up. And as Erwin Lutzer said, America is much like the church in Sardis. We're asleep in the light, and we need to wake up. We need to smell the coffee. We need to see what's going on in our world. We need to be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and what Israel should do. And so we need to know the time that we're in. We need to be praying. We need to be walking in the light as he himself is in the light. And we need to be faithful witnesses. You hear me say that a lot. Shine and share. That's how you witness. Shine is your life, and share is what comes out of your mouth. And both of those things in sync make for a powerful witness as we are walking with God, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to the phone lines, and we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor, you really stirred up a beehive this morning. I tell you. I was reading Isaiah this morning, 59, where the Lord was displeased, where there was no justice. He saw that there was no man. He was amazed that there was no one that would be would intercede for him, for our country. And so I think that kind of parallels what you were referring to in Revelation,
mm-hmm.
in a way, where man was, just like where Moses interceded for Israel before God struck them down. But the other thing I want to talk about, I'll let you go because I've called twice this week. Zoran, what I've heard about Zoran is he can't run for president because he wasn't born in America. Mm. I think he was born in Uganda. So that's where he was born.
Well,
and about the voting in Virginia and New Jersey, on Clay Travis' show that took over for Rush Limbaugh, they said that 600,000 Republicans in each state did not vote this past Tuesday.
Mm.
So those are just some things I want to throw out for you to ponder.
Thank you, David, for that. That's just so disappointing. You know, now's not the time to sit on the sidelines. Now is the time to get involved and to do it, everything that we can do, especially for Christians. I mean, it's incumbent for you to know what's going on, to know what these votes are about, to get informed, and then to vote. And especially if you live in one of those blue states, you need to let your voice be heard. Even if you're not going to win, even if you say, well, this is hopeless, at least you did your part. One of the things that was brought up last night, Ozzie Smith, the great baseball player, as I was there at Southern Arkansas University, he was talking about Pete Rose, and he said, Pete Rose taught me about hustle. He said, Pete Rose, if he hit a ball to the pitcher, he didn't just say, oh, I'm out. He would run as fast as he could to first base, even if he knew he was going to be thrown out. He didn't give up. He was always giving it 110%. And that's the way we need to live our lives as Christians. That's the way we need to live our lives in this great country that the Lord has allowed us to live in. So, David, thank you so much for calling in today, and thanks for sharing that. We have Dawn on the line from Louisiana. Dawn, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing well, thank you. So I just had a comment. You were telling the story about your grandkids going to the trunk or treat. So mm-hmm. my feeling with that is, and as when we first started our ministry, we would do that to give the kids an alternative to Halloween. But mm-hmm. I think it's still the same thing. And I think as churches, we need to get away from even having a trunk or treat and teach our children we do not celebrate because it is a wicked holiday. So just by changing the name, it's not changing what's going on. So I think it would be better, because your grandkids are super young, that even if they never participated in that, it would be a better lesson to tell them the reason that we do not celebrate the trunk or treat or the Halloween, because again, it's still around the same thing. And
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Dawn. You know, there are two ways to go with that. So you can say, well, we're not going to participate, or, you know, Romans chapter 12, verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so we had a big fall festival at our church, and this was something at their church, which is a church school, that they invited all the kids to come. And, you know, little kids are excited to dress up, and that's fun. And you know, and then you get candy, and the inappropriateness of having a gay pride trunk out there to influence the little kids, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, just sickening. And you know, you can write Ichabod over that church. The glory of the Lord has departed, and I think more and more of the students are going to depart, and their parents are going to say, we're not going to be a part of that. And it's really, really sad. And that's a Lutheran church. They supposedly, you know, hail from Martin Luther and from his theology. Well, Martin Luther was quick to point out homosexuality is a terrible, horrible sin. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it's a sin. And woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And so I hope God uses something bad like this for good, to wake up churches, wake up church members. Hey, if your church is supporting the LGBTQIA plus agenda, you need to talk to your pastor immediately. And if he says, no, this is where we stand as a church, then you need to get out of there. You can't. What fellowship has light with darkness? And those churches, if they're going to preach lies, they just as soon close down, because they're not doing anyone any good. And they're, as the scripture says, Josh Howerton points out, Revelation 2, they're a synagogue of Satan. Well, we have Joe on the line from Texas. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor, thanks. You know, politics, as they say, is downstream from culture, but culture is downstream from religion. And religion is really downstream from the seminaries and the academies that train the pastors. And if you look at the 1900s, there was these cataclysmic shifts going on from the Enlightenment era and other things, but basically denigrating the authority of the Word of God so that theology became basically anthropology. And with the rise of Marx, Darwin, the social gospel, Freud, we're bearing the fruit of that today. It's been a long time coming, but you mentioned Luther earlier. And Luther had said also that if universities didn't hold fast to the Word of God, they would become wide gates of hell. And I think we're seeing that, you know, putting reason over revelation, that there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end thereof is death. And I think we're starting to see that really bear fruit.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe. You know, it's just as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, we're going to see, as Jesus said, lays it out there in Matthew 24, this is what's going to happen. And false Christs and false doctrines, they're just going to fill the airwaves. And it's going to be very, very difficult to know what is true and what is not. That's why you have to immerse yourself in the Word of God. For a Christian, a solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The devil is a master liar, and Christians can be deceived unless we are solid in the Word of God, rightly dividing the word of truth, and recognizing what is going on. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19. And we need to realize this is a spiritual war, and unless we're walking in the light with Jesus, we can easily become a casualty of war. And we need to be praying for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, because they're right in the throes of it and right in the crosshairs of it. So God bless you, my brother. We have Barbara on the line from Georgia. Barbara, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Jeff. Yes, I wanted to address the issue of the New York mayor, the Muslim election of a Muslim mayor in New York. New York City is the original capital of the United States. So God chooses the electors. He chooses the presidents and the rulers. God has allowed a Muslim to be mayor over the capital city, the original capital city of the United States. That's where 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is a judgment from God. And if Christians do not get up and move and understand, we're going to lose America. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, the radicalness of Islam, no matter what they say, it is a religion of submission.
Yes.
Peace through submission.
Yes.
And you're going to see city after city, just like Europe, turn over to Islam, and mm-hmm. Sharia law will become the law of the land. Our nation is headed for a civil war. And if the Christians don't get up and understand and do their part, we're going to be toast. I don't think God will allow us to be completely destroyed, but we will have to fight for survival.
Yeah, that's a great point, Barbara. And if you believe in your eschatology, as my eschatology, my understanding of Scripture and end times, there's a rapture coming for the church. Now, if you take the Christians out of America and you have the onslaught of Islam in America, and then you remove all the believers all at one time, you can see where America would just, I mean, there would be no stopping it. And, you know, that fits in. Now, I also think that there's going to be, for the rise of the Antichrist, there's going to be an economic disaster. It seems to me that that would fit because people are going to be clamoring for a leader who can put it all together because we have to have somebody. We're in trouble here. Oh, this guy has all the answers, and they will follow after him. So I believe that that is coming. Nobody likes to hear that because it's not good news. But you know what Jeremiah told the people, and Ezekiel also, at the fall of Jerusalem. That wasn't good news. They didn't want to hear that. They hated what Jeremiah had to say. You're prophesying falsehoods. Why are you saying that we're going to be destroyed by Babylon? It's because thus says the Lord. That's why I'm saying that. And so we need to be speakers of the truth and speak the truth in love. And here's the thing. With the Lord, there is hope. And if God can save wicked Nineveh when they repented and believed, he can save wicked America as we cry out to him and get right with him. So thank you for that, Barbara. We have Michael on the line from Georgia. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I'll make this quick. I've been hearing comments about what was entered into the congressional records about the communist plan.
Uh-huh.
But we actually captured that in 1918 in Nuremberg. So we've known back that far.
Mm.
And you can even take that back to 1844, the Communist Manifesto. This was all spoken about in the mid-1800s, and it's
right.
The church isn't stepping up, and that's the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, Michael. Yeah, it was read into the record in what, 61, 63, whatever the date was. But yeah, it's been around a lot longer than that. So I appreciate you bringing that up. That's an important fact. Well, we have time for one more call. We have Tim in North Carolina. Tim, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
No, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I know we've got a little time frame here, so I'll be quick. First thing I want to ask is I would like to know the website or whatever it is about the cuckoo analogy with DSA.
Yeah, I think that came, Tim, I think that came from PragerU. It's called Democratic Socialist Takeover of the Democratic Party. So I'll try and post it on X, and I'll look for it. But yeah, it was fascinating to me how that is working, especially the cuckoo analogy. So anything else on that?
No, what I really want to say is what do pastors need to do from the pulpit or from their positions to talk about cultural issues. In our church, we just really basically deal with books of the Bible. We take what we've done, John and Acts.
Yeah. Well, I would use the book of Acts to see how boldly they were to speak. Acts chapter 4, Lord, give us boldness that we would speak and speak on the moral issues that politics is talking about today. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.